Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Brother Barnes, can you give me just a little extra up here? By the way, I want to thank Brother Barnes for all he does with the PA. It helps me an awful lot. I tease him from time to time, but I need him. Let me tell you, he does a fantastic job. Matthew chapter 6. Perfect, brother. That's well, you're not, but the sound is. All right, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read a fairly lengthy portion here tonight. I don't normally read this many verses all at one time, but I just really feel like it's necessary. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start reading in verse number 19, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. So some of you didn't get your Bible reading in for the day. We'll get it right here, all right? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. You follow along silently. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break forth and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break forth nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, tonight I plan to be extremely practical. I hope it will be very simple and yet very profound for you. God has given man five senses. I'm going to do just a little review here. We have five senses. God gave us hearing. He gave us sight, he gave us smell, he gave us taste, and he's given us touch. Those are the five senses. I don't care what the world says, there's not a sixth sense, just so you know. You know, it's not do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, all right? None of that's true. It's not real. Now, God gave us our senses because we were made in his likeness. God also has those five senses. We were created in his image. He gave us those senses to enjoy creation as he enjoyed it, not just to enjoy it like we want to enjoy it, but so that we could enjoy it as he enjoys it. Here's the problem. Sin entered man's life. And when sin entered man's life, our senses, I'm going to use a word here, became perverted. They came out of order. Instead of obedience and then sense, it became sense, and then we decided whether we would obey or not. We let our senses take over. Matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, we won't take time to do it again tonight, but you'll find at least four of the five senses were involved in the first sin. The only one not mentioned is smell. Sight, touch, taste, and and they listened to the devil. All four of those were involved in the first sin. So the only one not mentioned was smell, but I can't imagine them talking about that fruit and how good it was and them not smelling it. I can only imagine that it was involved. Virtually, and I won't say all were, but I think we could safely say four of the five, if not all five, of the senses were involved in the first sin. Now, animals are not like people. And by the way, people are not animals. Let me say that again. I don't care what the public school teaches, man is not an animal. Man is man. A human being has a body, a soul, and a spirit. A lost man has a body and a soul and will act more like an animal, but he is still a triune creature even though the spirit is dead. My wife's little dog, it only has a body and a soul. And if it doesn't behave, it's not going to have either. It only has a body and a soul. When that dog dies, it doesn't go to doggy heaven. Okay? Now, we know all cats die and go to Hades, though. Isn't that right, Brother Joe? Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not. Animals do not have a soul. Okay? They don't have the ability to be spiritual. They are led by their senses. When they're hungry, they find food. When they're thirsty, they find something to drink. When they want attention, they find attention. When it's time for them to reproduce, they do it by a sensual means. Now, here's the problem. Man is not to be led by his senses like an animal. Here's the problem. Lost human beings have a dead spirit, and because they have all five senses, they allow their senses to take over, and they actually live worse than animals. Do you know that most animals live better than cultures where the people are predominantly God-hating and godless people? An animal lives better than most humans. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but you can have a whole herd of bulls and you're not going to have a sodomite one in there. You can have 100 cows in a field and you're not going to have an LGBT one. See, that's not politically correct. They're not scientifically correct either. They're not biblically correct. Now, and I'll preach that sermon later. But man, left to himself, will become sensual. The word sensual is only mentioned twice in the Bible. Both times, it is about lost people and evil people and wicked people. When man allows his senses to lead him, he becomes, and I'm talking mankind, not just the male species here, but when mankind is left to his own senses, that's what humanism's all about. That's where we get the mentality, if it feels good, do it. Hello? That's where we get this eat, drink, and be merry. That's where we get all these statements from, because we're being led by our senses. Now, here in Matthew chapter 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching. He started in Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes, and it goes through chapter 6, goes through chapter 7, and he's teaching a multitude of people up on the mountain. He's preaching to them, and in the middle of this sermon, he kind of spins things a little bit. He changes points and goes into something that is just amazing to me. He starts talking about finances. But I want you to notice something about this as he starts talking about finances. He likens finances to our eyes and to our eyesight. Look at it again. Look at verse 22. The light of the body is the, what is that? Eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. And he goes into this long dissertation, so to speak, about finances. Verses 19 that we read before them, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he's talking about money. And he likens it unto our eyes. Now, listen to this statement. Too many people in church think that God wants Christian people to be dirt poor, no money, no savings, and living by faith from meal to meal. That's not what God says. That's not necessarily God's plan. I'm not saying there won't be times in our lives where we're not there. But I will say this, that's not God's plan. Did you know God wants you successful more than you want you successful? God wants you to be successful. Now, I don't believe every Christian is going to be a millionaire, just so you know. I don't believe every Christian is going to be rich. And by the way, that is a very relative term. There are people in this room, if you made $30,000 this year, you would consider yourself rich. There's others that if you didn't pull six figures, you wouldn't consider yourself making it. So it's all relative based on where you're coming from. Everybody understand that? You know, if Bill Gates only made $100 million this year, he'd be losing a lot of money. Now, if we made $100 million this year, you can finance the church. Your tithe alone takes care of that. Now, wait a minute. Jesus begins talking about light here and darkness and evil and eyes and sight. And he's talking about the sense of our sight in reference to finances. Now, I call this our eyes and money. Listen to this statement. Nowhere does God say that money is evil. Say that again. There is nowhere where God said that money is evil. Matter of fact, in the book of Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 16, God says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of the unrighteousness of this world. Jesus said, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of the unrighteousness of this world. In other words, God told us we ought to have good business relations, and it's not wrong to have people that have decent money. I have a pretty good business relationship with people that I do business with. Brother Ron and Tammy just had business dealings with somebody that I sent them to, oh, probably in the last year or so. And he told me today, he said, Brother Bush went so-and-so, and they don't normally help people in the way that we needed help, but they said because of you and because of our church and because we're associated with it, they said, oh, it's okay, let's just do it. I like that. That's called being a good businessman. Amen? And not just me, him. They're good business people. And I can't tell you all of my business friends that they're all saved yet, but I'm working on them. I sat down at the table with six big shots from Jefferson County today. I didn't win a one of them to the Lord, but I got a lot of them that like me, finally. I can't wait. You say, who are you going to invite our first service? Well, the first person I'm inviting is the lady we bought the property from. Next people I'm going to invite are the people that helped build the building. Then the next people I'm going to invite are the group of people that helped us approve it and all the engineers and architects and things. I'm going to get them all there. You say, why? Because I'm going to preach the devil out of them, get them saved. Amen. Then we'll get them tithing. They'll help pay for what we just gave them money to do. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. God tells us, Jesus told his disciples, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of this world. The word mammon means money. That doesn't mean that you ought to go hobnobbing with people and live the wrong way to have rich friends either. Okay? But God said it's not wrong to have money. Here in Matthew 6, by the way, let me just say it this way. Here in Matthew 6, we're going to focus on this part of our eyes and finances tonight. God does not want you to struggle your whole life financially. I'm going to say this, though. Nobody goes through life, even wealthy people, face financial struggles. Finances are ebb and flow. They come and go. They come and go. You're going to have better times than others. Stock markets lost almost 1,000 points in the last 2 or 3 weeks. There are people that have hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in the stock market that have lost tens of thousands or more just in the last week. Many aren't panicked. They know it's going to come back up, and they'll just hold on. It's okay. But if you look at what they were worth, and 3 weeks later you look at what they're worth, it's significantly different. But that changes as the market changes, as their investments change. So there's give and take all the time, financially speaking, no matter at what level you are. Doesn't matter if you're on the bottom or at the top, you're going to have prosperous and non-prosperous times. That is how it works. Now, I say that to say this. God doesn't want you to struggle all the time, but he also knows finances can affect our pride, and our pride can affect how we live. God doesn't want money to control our lives. He wants us to control the money he gives us. Here's the problem. The average person lives for money. They don't live and make do with the money that they get. The focus is the issue. Now, we Christians are all mixed up with finances. We think that we need a lot more than we really need. Did you know? Everybody doing all right? Did you know you don't have to have a $300,000 home? Now, if you can afford it, I'm happy for you. But did you know that we get this thing all mixed up? People my age, middle age, because we're going to live to be 100. People that are my age, my children are finally grown and now out of the house. About this time, if I were working in the world, most people would say, time to upgrade. Time to sell the house that you had, get a bigger house. Why in the world do I need a bigger house when it's just her and I? I needed the bigger house when I had 3 kids at home. But I couldn't afford the bigger house when I had 3 kids at home because I had to feed 2 horses, my boys. Good night. We got this thing mixed up. Or, let me say it this way. I think God wants us to be comfortable. But not comfortable compared to Bill Gates. If you saw the house I grew up in, you'd be shocked. My mom and dad in 1968 purchased that house. I was less than a year old when we moved into that house. My dad got a loan for that house, get this, for about $18,000. My grandfather, his dad, just about had a conniption fit. He said, son, what in the world are you buying such an expensive house for? I cannot believe you're going so far in debt. Good night. There's hardly a person in this house that hasn't had a car worth more than that. Hello. My grandfather just about disowned my dad for buying such a rich house. It was a little two-bedroom bungalow, brick house on a basement. My dad took the middle of the house and the rafters out, built a stairway in there, and put my brother and I's bedroom up in the attic. That was our bedroom. My mom and dad had one room, and we took the other bedroom and turned it into a family room. We had a kitchen and a small living room. That was our house. He had a shop that wasn't that much bigger than this platform. We had a storage room down there, and then we turned the other part into kind of like a den. And then there was a little, we built a little half, three-quarter bath in there and the laundry room. That was the entire house. I don't think that house was 1,400 square foot, 1,200 square foot, maybe. My wife's been by it several times. It's just a tiny little cracker box. Built in the 1940s, right after the war. You know, one of those little brick bungalows after the war houses? That's what it was. I grew up in one of those. I didn't have a room by myself until I was 16 years old. My brother moved out to get married. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day. I had a room by myself my whole life for about a year and a half, because then I went to Bible college and shared a room with six other people. And after Bible college, I got married. So for a year and a half of my life, I had a room to myself. Wow. It didn't affect me at all. Good night. Now, if each one of your children don't have their own bedroom, their own bathroom, their own TV, their own cell phone, their own iPad, their own laptop, then we're depriving our children. Good night. We don't need as much as we think we need. Now, God wants us obedient to the principles of this book. Can I tell you something? I believe, and I'm not for this wealth, prosperity, gospel stuff. Oh, just trust Jesus and God will make you rich. Can't spell it, but I can say it. Amen. I'm not saying that that just because you're a Christian that God's going to make you wealthy and you're going to drive brand new cars and have gold rings on every one of your fingers and you're going to have a mansion. Not down here. Doesn't mean you're going to have more money in the bank, but I do believe God will help you live more prosperously if you live by this book. I believe that God will help you manage what you do have much better. And by the way, we compare ourselves among ourselves way too much. I didn't know I lived in a small house. The house my wife and I purchased and live in and have lived in all these years is much larger than the house I grew up in. Much larger. I didn't realize how small that house was till I bought a house. I really didn't. I wish you could see my wife and I's first apartment. She's laughing. We had a little studio apartment at Greenbrier. I'll promise you, the whole apartment wasn't as big as a section of these chairs here. And that's bedroom, kitchen, and bathroom. Our bedroom was the living room. It was a little wider than a set of double doors. You had about 3 foot, and then you had the front door. That's how wide our whole apartment was. We spent our first year of marriage in that thing. Then we went to California. We got a little 700 square foot house that we rented in 1990 for $1,000 a month, almost $1,100 a month. And that was in 1990. I mean, one level, detached garage, and it was $1,000 a month, and my salary was $20,000 a year in California. You ought to try that one once. My landlord had 12 fingers. She had two thumbs on each hand, a little Filipino lady. Craziest thing I ever said, she had thumbs growing out. She had an extra thumb growing out her thumb like this. It was about like that on both sides. She was scary. It was so California-ish. When you walked into the living room, the wall that went this way, after you came through the little kitchen and dinette there, this whole wall here was a mural, an outdoor mural. Some kind of trees, and I think it had water or something. I don't even remember. It's been too long. We paid over $1,000 a month for rent. And everybody couldn't believe we got such a good deal. I'm going, oh, Lord, get me out of here. Wait a minute. I got to hurry. God likens money to our sight. Let me help you. I've got three short points. We'll be done, I promise. Number one, money is need for us to, we need money by which to live, but it's not to be the focus of our life. You need money to live, but it's not supposed to be the focus of your life. Listen to this statement. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, what you're focusing your eyes on is what your heart's going to be, and what your money is going to be is where your heart's going to be. You show me your checkbook register, I'll show you what you love. You show me what you spend your money on, I'll show you what you care about. And God says, you're only going to look at those things and you're going to start wanting those things because you've been looking at those things. Now, hang on. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 8. Don't take time to turn there because you won't get there before I will. But I want to read one verse to you here. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 8. Therefore, there is one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of this good? This also is vanity. Yea, it is sore travail. Did you know that rich people want more because of what they see? Oh, who's going to win the Powerball? I don't know, but I feel sorry for them. 90% of the people that win big lottery end up bankrupt in 3 years or less. God talks about not getting riches that way. You have to have money to live. You've got to have a place to live. You got to have your utilities paid. You got to have food. You got to usually have a car. You got to have your insurances and et cetera. Those are things that you have to have. But that doesn't mean you have to buy a new car every 2 years. Doesn't mean that you have to live in $750,000 house. It may mean that you got to rent for a while. May mean that every once in a while you got to cut back. Everybody doing all right? May mean instead of turning your thermostat up to 80 degrees, that you turn it down and wear more clothes, or in my case, burn more wood. My wife and I have been burning wood in the wood stove every night in the last week, including last night. We had the windows open. Say why? Because it gets too hot. It's so hot, we've got the windows open at 20 degrees with 40-mile-an-hour winds just to cool it down a little bit. I thank God I've got the wood and the wood heat, but may I say this? The house that was built right next to mine, you know, my electric bill runs about $100 a month. My neighbors, she said, how much does that save you? I said, I don't know. She said, well, what's your electric bill run in the winter? I said, oh, about $100. She said, how much? I said, about $100. I said, is that a lot? She said, I could kill you. She said, a lot of times ours is between $350 and $400. I'm going to go cut some more wood. I was hauling wood when she said this. I thought, man, I'm going to go get me another truckload of wood. That scared me to death. I could pay my entire winter electric bill for 1 month of what they do. I thought, thank you, Lord, it pays to tithe. That's one way God does that. Now, those expenses don't have to be bigger, nicer, or more expensive than you can afford, and so that you can still do things for God. Some of us, listen to this statement, a big house is not wrong as long as you can still go to church, still go soul winning, still serve God, and still spend time with your family. I know people that have upgraded in house. Now, mom works, dad works, and nobody ever sees anybody in the house that everybody wanted to have, and nobody even lives there. They just pass each other between jobs. What good was it? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. You know, new things are not wrong as long as you don't have to quit living right and serving God to have them. I'm not against you having a nice car. But if you got to quit serving God to work more hours and miss church and miss soul winning to have a nicer car, get a crummy car and stay in church. If you have to choose between a bigger and nicer thing and serving God, choose serving God. Am I Doing all right? When we place the focus of our lives on things, we are not doing it God's way. We are not to let our eyes focus on the finances. We're supposed to focus our lives on Him, and then He'll help us manage the finances we do have. Malachi chapter 3, I'll read it. The Bible says the first thing you're supposed to do is tithe. Tithe means first tenth. But listen to this. Will a man rob God? Yet wherein have you robbed me? But ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse and have robbed me, even this whole nation. Watch this. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Notice it says bring it, don't send it. It says bring it in. That means you're supposed to be there. And that there may be meat in mine house, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and there shall be not room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, if we'll keep him first, he'll make us more productive and we'll have more than we would have. And I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense that if you give 10% of your income to God that you can live better than you could on 100% yourself. But I can promise you this, it works that way. I'll promise you. Can I tell you why God wants the first tenth? Let me show you something about tithing and why it should be the first tenth. Because that means you're focused on God and not yourself. You're focused on God and not your house. You're focused on God and not the things that you want. You're focused on God and not your toys and your hobbies. You're doing things God's way. Everybody doing all right? Your needs come next. And by the way, needs aren't all we think it is. Did you know it's not wrong to go to Goodwill and thrift stores and Act Two to get clothes? I know a preacher. He's changed churches about 4 or 5 times as the church drops down because he's a bit, you'll find out why. But if he can't get $300, $400, and $500 suits a couple times a year, he goes looking for another church. I had one of those Harth Schaffner and Mark suits once, but I got it at a thrift store. I paid $6 for it. I found out brand new the thing was worth about $600, $700. Man. I don't think, since my wife and I have been married in 26 years, I know I can count on that hand the number of new suits I've bought that I paid for. I've had suits bought for me, but anything that I've bought as a suit, I go to the thrift stores and buy. Say, why? I can't afford new suits like that. I'd rather give the money to God than buy me a new suit. I'd rather help somebody else out than buy me a new suit. I can get a new one from the thrift store. It's not new, but it's new to me. I can't believe you do that, preacher. Yeah. Do it a lot. You'd be surprised how many of my suits I got at thrift stores. Man, it's quiet in here. Number two. So, let me review. Number one, money is a need for us by which to live, but it's not to be the focus of our life. Number two, if money is the focus of your eyes, evil is there. If money becomes the focus of your life, evil will be there. I'm going to read a verse to you, and then I'm going to prove it, because I'm going to let God do the talking, not me. That way you get mad at him, and you don't have to get mad at me, all right? But if money is the focus of your eyes, then evil will be there. Look, you don't need to turn there, but let me read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want you to notice it says the love of money is the root of all evil. If you're focused on money, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're focused in your heart on money and loving money with your heart, money will then turn to evil things. Look how many rich people live an evil life. Look how many famous people that make lots of money live an evil life. Can I tell you why? Their focus is money. Their focus is money. And money has power, and that money allows you to covet and want more things and can draw you away from God if the money is the focus of your life and not God. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there for a second. When money becomes the focus of all man does, he becomes evil with his money. He becomes evil to get money, and he becomes evil to get even more money. That's why you have drug runners. That's why you have prostitution. That's why you have the alcohol business. And that's why you have legalized drug business. Good night. Who in their right mind ever thought they would legalize marijuana? There's a reason we called them potheads. Dopes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now the government can make money on it, so let's dope everybody up. Now, wait a minute. We become evil for money because money then is the focus. And I'm not going to be crude here, but prostitution is stupid. Can I tell you what happens? Somebody's focused on money and not serving God. When you start focusing on money, you'll do things that are evil that you never thought you would ever, ever, ever do. I promise you. All right? Money is not to be our master, it's to be our tool. Did you know that that's not supposed to be your master? That's supposed to be your tools? Do you know yesterday my wife was working me to death around the house. She had me doing the honey-do list is longer than I cared to talk about. But I caught up a little bit yesterday. But you know, I didn't go down to my new toolbox that she got me for Christmas. And my toolbox didn't tell me what I was supposed to do. I went down, grabbed a tool for the job I had to get done. Say, what was it? A hammer. Fixes everything. If you didn't fix it, you broke it to where you don't need it anymore. Amen? If that doesn't work, you get the bigger hammer. Now, wait a minute. My tools don't tell me what I'm supposed to do. I tell my tools which one of them I need, and I use them appropriately. Can I tell you something? Your money is supposed to be a tool, not your master. Too many of us let this be your master. And I'm not talking about MasterCard either. I just thought of that. So, you know, the more we live by God's word, the more we adjust our lives, and God can bless us to rebuke the evil. That's why he said in Malachi 3 that if we bring our tithes to the storehouse, he will rebuke the devourer. He will cause our success not to give its fruit too early, and that it won't be cast before people and be found worthless. God says, if you'll do it my way, I can make your success more successful. And number three, and I'll finish. So let me review. Number one, we need to have money by which to live, but it's not to be the focus of our lives. Number two, if money is the focus of our lives, evil is there. If you read verses 23, 24, it talks about darkness and evil. And it talks about our eye being full of darkness because our eye is focused on the money, not on God. Number three, and I'm hurrying quickly, we cannot let our desire for money and for things override God's principles, or we'll serve money and not God. If you're not careful, you're going to serve this right here. That's what you're going to serve. Too many people, that's the focus of your life. This is what you live your whole life for. Can I tell you something? That's just a tool. Just a tool. Say, well, I need that. Okay, come see me. I'll give it to you. No big deal. It's a tool. Well, I don't have that much to give away. That's fine. Nobody said you had to. It's what God gave me to give. Everybody doing all right? Sure. Watch this. Look at Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 33. Let me teach you something that gets mistaught. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch this. And all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what are all these things? We'll go back up to verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. God says, I know what you need. He said, if you'll seek me, if you'll keep focused on me, keep focused on righteousness, and you'll obey the word of God, you won't have to worry about seeking those things and looking for those things. I'll take care of those things. He said, seek me first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, it may be like Sunday where I preached about the widow with the meal and the oil. You might not have a full barrel, but you're going to have it meal by meal. You may not have a big barrel. You might only have a handful at a time, but God will provide it as he did for Elijah twice a day, by the ravens and by the brook. See, so many times we think we got to have it all in one lump sum, but that's not how God said he would provide. God has more money and things available to him than any human. Let me rephrase that. God has more money and more things available to him than all humanity put together. God owns the whole universe. Can I tell you something? You can't outspend God. Not even our president. God knows how much he can give us, and we will still obey him and not start serving for the things. Ouch. There are some people, if you got too much, you'd quit serving God. The more obedient to him we are, usually the more success we have. By the way, if you go to God in a financial mess, he's not just going to say, okay, let me wipe it clean. Boop. Let's start over. No, he's going to make you work your way out of it. It may take a while. If you've been in a financial mess for 5 years, in 5 minutes with the preacher in the Bible, your problems aren't all fixed. Just so you know. It might take another 5 years to get out of it, but there at least there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. It can happen. God is not the genie in the bottle, and you rub it, and he pops out and gives you everything you want. Okay? When we keep his word, and we work the way he says to work, and our focus is on him first, our families, and doing right, and those things, then we're more apt to have more of what we need to take care of things. By the way, when you're focused on him and his word, you're less apt to go into bad debt. You're less apt to make bad decisions with your money financially. It's amazing how bad America's economy is, but everybody eats out. Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself right now. My wife and I, for the last couple years, have been able to eat out once a week. It's the first time in our marriage. My kids, eating out to my kids was us being able to go to McDonald's and everybody get something from the dollar menu. That was eating out. We thought we were in hog heaven with our kids. My kids will tell you, Daddy, remember when we would go get McChickens and hamburgers? Yeah. Man, that was great. I mean, that was our eating out. We did that about once every 3 or 4 weeks. You say, why did you hunt so much, preacher? Because I had 5 people to feed and I didn't make a lot of money. I have a garden. Say, why? So that we could eat. When my son got married, he said, Dad, do you know how expensive groceries are? I said, yeah. I said, it's amazing how much you've cut back, isn't it? He said, man, I didn't realize how much meat was. He said, now you know why I killed it all. He said, you're not kidding. He said, that stuff's expensive. I said, now you know why we worked like we did. I said, growing up stuff's tough, isn't it? He said, I didn't know it was going to be that much. Yeah, it's not fun. Let's be careful with our eyes. You know, window shopping's not wise for most people. Most of you don't need to buy windows anyway. You know, when you go window shopping, all you're doing is wanting things you can't have. Then you're going to focus on making more money to buy things that you don't need, that you can't have, and go into farther debt so that you're in more financial trouble. And then you're going to get mad at God for not getting you out of a mess because you rubbed the bottle and he didn't pop out and grant you your wish. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to enjoy life. And God does. And there's ways we can do it. But we've got to follow God's plan. Let's not get our eyes so focused on money. Let's do things God's way. Let's look at money his way. Money's a tool. Money is a necessity. It's kind of like a hammer. You got to have one. Never know when you're going to need it. Amen? Or a screwdriver. Everybody needs one. You don't use it every day, but when you need it, it's there and you got to use it. And money's that way. You've got to have some to survive. We can't live like the government. We've got to have it to survive, but it doesn't have to be the focus of our life. The focus of our life ought to be that right there. And when you're in line with that, money takes second stage. By the way, when it takes second stage, it's a whole lot easier to manage. Whole lot easier to manage. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know many in this room, I know many struggle, and that's okay. Doesn't mean God hates you. Doesn't mean that in a couple of years you're not going to be on the top side helping somebody else. But we're to manage our money with our eyes, and we manage it with our eyes by focusing on God and not money.